Welcome. I welcome you. I welcome.
I want to welcome.
You welcome us.
Nathan, you welcome.
No.
Why not?
Because.
Why not?
I seem to recall doing it recently.
I don't think you did.
Welcome to episode 178 of Crippled System. I am one third of your host, Nathan.
I'm Brian. One other third.
I am another third, and I'm Andy.
And Brian Kerr's dead, so he's not here.
He's not dead.
Brian Kerr's not dead.
Eventually that's going to happen because, you know, everyone in War Machine is, you know, getting older and older now. So eventually they'll be like, and this week, 18 people we know died. That's pretty awesome because getting old is great.
It is.
Anyway, here's a good start to the podcast.
He is wheelchair bound right now, though.
He is wheelchair bound. Well, he did post on Facebook. He did find out that he has
his hip is rotting out of him, and they just ignored him for half a month.
Oh, actually, there is a problem.
I guess he broke his hip, or he had some kind of crack or something like that, and then everything around it is dying.
Yeah, and evidently they've decided to work faster now with him.
Yeah,
like since your legs are about to fall off, and hip's can a hip fall off? It doesn't seem like a thing that should fall off.
Well, the leg would fall off because of the hip failing.
He could get a robotic leg then.
When my dad was younger, he fell off his bike and landed on his stomach. And he went home, and he's like, my stomach hurts, Mom. And she took him to the hospital, and they're like, he's fine. He just bruised it, whatever. So they went home, and, days later, he's still like, it hurts. And she took him back to the hospital, and they're like, he's fine. And, days later, he's like, it hurts. And she took him back, and she's like, cut him open. And they're like, no. And she's like, fuck you. Cut him open. I'll pay for it. You know, if there's nothing there, I just paid you to cut him open. They cut him open. They're like, his spleen exploded. What do you know? He just been dying that whole time because one of his organs had ruptured. Yeah. Sometimes you got to tell those doctors, hey, no.
Well, you go to a doctor nowadays. Like, I went to the doctor a year and a half ago because I had a foot problem. And I go in there and I explain my foot problem. He's like, oh, really? That's interesting. Here, let me show you. So he basically brought up Google and did some searches and goes, here's probably what the problem is. And I'm like, I just paid you a $30 copay. You literally Googled foot problem. You gave me a brochure and sent me on my way.
You could have left the room, Googled it, and come back and pretended like you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, you some diagnosis. Sort of right in front
of you. It's like I Googled the same shit, dumbass. I Googled foot hurts and I see the exact same page I saw. I mean, I also added fetish to the end of it because I was bored eventually. But yeah. You know, I started off with a foot problem. But
anything you say, Tarantino.
Yeah,
everything there is WebMD. You know, that's the answer for everything.
I mean, I get that. I don't care that he's going to use the internet, but yeah, he doesn't need to do that in front of me. I mean, I have this assumption of I need this illusion of knowledge from my doctor. I don't care if he's an idiot. I just don't want to know that. I don't want proof.
I would be told I'm an idiot because I looked it up myself.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what the diagnosis is, not the other way around.
Yeah, if he would have Googled it and looked at me and said, this is stupid, and then actually told me something that was, you know, different, maybe I would have accepted that. But he's like, nope, Google's great. It's like, I hate
it. Was this a doctor or a hobo?
I was a doctor. I would have been okay with a hobo doing that. He would have showed a little initiative, and he would have had a computer. So yeah. good on you, hobo.
Going down on State Street, giving just random people a $30 copay. Yeah. Can you diagnose this for me?
That's what I felt like I did. On State Street, I could have got a good lunch out of it.
That's true.
But no, that's what I got. That's me.
We don't really have anything really planned for subjects at all.
We have announcements.
We do? Yeah, we do. We have at least two.
Well, the thing that's nearest to us is War Machine Weekend.
Yep.
On the, early November. Everyone knows about it.
4th and 5th of November.
And then there's something happening next year. Then, in December, we have Who's the Boss.
Did you see?
Oh, God, I did see.
How many people tried to sign up for the 2014 charity event? Somebody bumped it and signed up, and two or three more people signed up, and then Ahmad's like, guys, look at the date, and locked the thread.
Nice. I'm the one who reported the thread. Because I went into there, and I'm like, wait a second, why does it say December 6th? This makes no sense. So, yeah, then three people signed up for it, and I sent a report to Ahmad to lock it.
Nice. Every so often, I have to report my. It's always funny when we have to report your own thread for something weird. But yeah. So then that's in December. And then, of course, is it March now? What are the dates?
March 4th and 5th at the Clarion Hotel and Conference Suite in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right by the airport.
Milwaukee,
land of many lakes.
Which is Algonquin for. I can't remember.
Land of many lakes.
Oh, it is? Is it that good? Okay. All right.
I was continuing the quote. I skipped the Algonquin part.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. But yeah, so Yes, March 4th and 5th, 2017. The thread is up to sign up, and you don't even technically really need to use the thread. You can just PayPal money. You don't have to pay everything right now. It's just reservation fee, and then you can scrounge up the rest later. So, like, if you know you're going to have a team, but you haven't picked your four friends yet, you can just foot your portion of the bill, and that's basically going to be the deposit.
This is the full-on America's Team Championship, mm-hmm. where if the team is from the USA, they get a spot on the WTC event later in the year.
And you don't have to be from the USA to go, so I encourage non-Americans to come and dream stomp, because nothing would make me better than, like, you know, an Ecuadorian team winning and then having, like, you know, some American team be in second.
Is it the highest team?
No, nope. It's so one or nothing.
Oh, so if you have to win it as an American team.
We only look at first place. Like, there's standard trophies, first, second, third, for the team event and for the solo masters. But in both the team event and the solo masters, we just look at first place. And if it's an American resident, not citizen, resident, so you can reverse Tom Guan. If you're like a foreign citizen that lives in America, you're okay. Kind of like how he played for the Australians.
Correct.
But if number one is USA, they're in. The team is an automatic team, and the solo masters is automatically a member of one of the other teams.
So if the Canadian team wins, but they're wearing cheese hats, and they can count as Wisconsin residents, yay, we got you. Because, you know, they can tweak their accent a little bit to make them think like they're from Minnesota or something.
I mean, we just call them Youpers.
They're just upper Michigan.
Just exactly. Really upper Michigan.
Youpers, very upper peninsula.
I'm just saying, I think the Canadians could sneak us by.
Yeah, possibly. We did, unfortunately. We looked at everything. We thought we'd looked at everything to avoid stomping on any other events. That's actually why we had to move it slightly, but we landed right on the Ontario team champion. So,
well, again.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't avoid everything. We tried. But
there's so many events out there.
There's so many.
Well, I mean, Canada doesn't really count if you're going to skip it. If you're going to time
going to I like it's the largest state in America.
It is.
I like how we were like, hey, you guys, you should come down. Come down. Yeah, by the way, you don't matter. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows you don't matter.
That is true.
I mean, that's never meant for debate there.
They still bow to the queen. They haven't earned mattering yet.
I mean, everyone about borders of the U.S. is a matter. We're going to wall y'all off anyway.
Ha-ha!
Well, we are Canada's Mexico, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. When things get shitty here, we all just flee north of the border. Y'all got any of that socialized medicine? But yeah, so no, that's March 4th and 5th. But yeah, and so we're excited because we can see where hits to the website, you know, come from, and there's people looking from like Venezuela and things like that, and it's really cool to see interest from not just America, because we don't want it to just be the American team championship USA. Like, it's supposed to be the whole Western Hemisphere, and so that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I think people should come to it. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, I know I think Jay Larson's team already signed up. I saw he signed up already, or he said he had his team ready.
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to double check who all's paid today.
It'll be good. It'll be good times. And yesterday, we almost had a scoring podcast yesterday, and then we didn't.
Did you decide to wait for the errata?
We did. Well, I think me and Josh, both to ourselves, when we saw the errata, said, man, I don't want to spend 8 hours on a podcast and then have some percentage of it change in 2 months.
Be invalidated.
But I don't think either of us really wanted to tell the other one, no, we don't want to do it, because we were both excited to do it. So we kind of played chicken until Friday. And then we kind of both like, hey, other guy, maybe we wait. Or just like 2 months.
You have a problem with communication on things you don't want to do.
Well, I mean, I was excited for Josh to come up for the weekend because it would have been fun. But then I was like, man, but I don't want to spend 8 hours. And I mean, really, the tragic part was poor Tort didn't get to watch us for 8 hours. And Jeremy was going to come for the entire time. He's like, oh, my in-laws are there, so I'm just going to hang out with you guys and podcast. We weren't going to let him talk except we'd poke him and he'd have to see him play with trash every so often. So that was going to be his – instead of a soundboard, we actually have Jeremy. We'd have like a
stick and just jab him.
Or like have like a write out what he can say, just point to it and make him like say certain things only. Just give him alcohol every so often and just keep pointing at things to make him say words.
Like a Skinner box. He pulls the lever and he gets alcohol. He says the phrase, he gets a shot.
He could be basically how he normally was in the old podcast room with the little tripod stand.
Leaning back.
Just on his gut.
With his on his gut, kind of slightly out. You just poke him. He's like, I'm playing with trash.
And then out.
Yeah. Bag of dicks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically like how he is any given day wandering around. God damn it. Yeah.
I did. That was actually to remind me. I did slightly related to my other announcement. All of the Kickstarter rewards finally arrived. I have everything, and I meant to bring your stuff today, and I just forgot to because I was running late. But it's all here. And so, if you are listening and you are not a Madison local, so I will have to mail you your stuff. But you're going to be at War Machine Weekend. talk to me at War Machine Weekend because I'm bringing everything. I literally just said, like, literally 30 seconds ago.
I know, that was so long ago.
You can get it at War Machine Weekend.
Damn it.
I won't even give it to you on Wednesday now.
What?
You can get yours Wednesday, Andy. Mm-hmm. Brian, no.
Oh. We actually have to show
I'll
up
give
on
you
a
all the same stuff, yeah, but I'll be like, this is Jordan's.
Have me and Andy showed up on a Wednesday lately?
Valid point.
He's playing WoW, I'm playing Total War.
Sons of bitches. I tried to play Civ, motherfucker. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Hit me up at War Machine Weekend. I'll have everything there. I tried to play Civ 6. Fuck PC gaming.
What? PC gaming's the best.
It's the fucking worst. I look at all the requirements for Civ 6, mm-hmm. and it's like, you need this much RAM. And I got twice that. You need this much something else. Like, mm-hmm. I got twice that. Like, I got surprisingly good stats on my computer. And the one thing I didn't check, I had DirectX 10, and it needs DirectX 11. It's like, whatever, I'll just download the latest version of DirectX. Mm-hmm. Well, my graphics card, despite being baller as fuck, is a few years old baller as fuck. And so the stats are still good, but it doesn't understand the concept of DirectX 11. So it'll do 10 point whatever, but it won't do 11. So I literally can't play Civ 6. You so like might... I wept a single tear and then did refund and got my money back from Steam.
Oh, I was going to say, you might be able to update the drivers on your graphics card.
I looked online and it said that this graphics card cannot do 11.
Oh, okay. Well, that's.
I mean, you know,
I just sucks. Spend a few $1,000s every couple of years to get my computer current.
I spend a few $100s every couple of years to get my console current.
See, and I will say, I'm going to recommend Total War Warhammer, and games like that are why I still game on the PC, because a console just can't handle it. There's probably a half dozen games that exist. Once either the consoles get better or those games just cease to exist, I could just not PC game anymore.
Yeah.
Because I definitely do like the fact that you just buy a new console every 4 or 5 years and you spend a couple $100s versus the thousands of dollars I spend every couple of years.
Well, now, like, with the graphics and the capabilities and stuff, like, is there really any reason a USB mouse, USB keyboard into your PlayStation 4, you can't play Civ on it?
The companies fight against that so much.
And I don't know why. Yeah. It can. It's strong enough to do so.
I have a third-party device that lets me use keyboard mouse when I play my PS4 for shooters. And people get really pissed off when they realize you have a keyboard mouse because you're, you know, better than them. Because they're like, I have a controller. I'm like,
see,
well, fuck
I
you,
use my
mouse.
Controller on my PC yeah, to play shooters.
I know. So does Jordan. And that's why you're terrible at them.
Doom's on sale right now. I almost bought it for
Doom
the PlayStation
really
4. Yeah, it's on sale for half price, $30.
I
instead.
Told you guys.
Yeah, I know. Instead, I bought Thief and Tomb Raider for like $10 because they were like $5 yeah. each.
Which Tomb Raider? The newest?
The newest one.
Incarnation?
It was $7.50, and then Thief was like $5, and it came with a $5 DLC.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Tomb Raider was actually really, really solid. I haven't played the second one that the release was.
I watched you get crushed by a boulder several times in Tomb Raider.
You watch me play any game, you'll see me do stupid things.
You are the true brute force master of a game. You don't give up. It might take you 17 days to get past that boulder, but you may die to it a lot.
I mentioned to Brian, because I'm playing through the Bioshock series again, because I bought the collection, and in Bioshock and Bioshock 2, you can turn off the Vita chambers, which are the respawn points, and then when you die, it's just fuck you, reload your last save game. You know, and so, I mean, you can save scum. You can save every 10 feet if you want to, but it stops you from taking a wrench and just hitting a Big Daddy 3 times, dying, hitting it 3 more times, dying, and then eventually eroding him to death through respawning. You know,
it takes a long time, but you can do it.
Yeah, you can with Vita Chambers on, you literally can just wrench something for an hour and it dies. Like, there's no losing the game.
Oh, that seems stupid.
Well, so you turn Vita Chambers off, yeah. And then when you die, it just the last save point, which is different than immediately respawning with full health while
correct.
Everything is still as it is. Bioshock Infinite does not have that option. You just always have immediate respawn, so you can just brute force your way through anything.
Oh, great.
And Brian was like, well, yeah, they have to have Andy mode.
Yeah. Did you watch me when I was trying to play
Uncharted was the best thing ever. Well, the grenade tutorial in Uncharted is my favorite Andy video game memory ever, and I don't think you could ever top it.
You really should play Dark Souls. We should have Andy does Dark Souls on a Twitch.
Yes!
I think Plummer gave up on it. I think it even broke Plummer because he was twitching it for a while. Then eventually he's like, I'll kill myself if I continue.
I mean, did you watch me play the final board on Super Meat Boy?
If I should play,
no.
I did that for hours. And that final board is a bitch, though, too.
Well, but, see, Super Meat Boy is designed specifically to be that kind of game, right?
Yeah,
you
correct,
have
correct,
to just
yeah.
brute force it. You know?
That is the whole
There's
point
no option.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. I can barely handle Transforming and Transformers Devastation. If anybody watched me play that game, I'm sitting there, I'm like trying to jump out of the car mode and immediately go back into the car mode and then keep on driving around.
Yeah,
you're transforming. You're transforming.
Yeah. I'll do a Dark Souls, like, Tuesday nights, or can't do Tuesday nights now because I'm raiding.
I can't do any nights because I close 8 days a week.
Yeah, you're coming up on the holidays.
Fucking worst.
Holiday roll.
We're closed Thanksgiving. Fuck yeah. The backlash.
Well, Thanksgiving, the pendulum but swings. You're still open on Black Friday.
Yeah, but the last 5 years I've worked Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, really? Lately, yeah. More and more companies are finally going, you know what, people don't want to shop on Thanksgiving Day.
But it's prisoner's dilemma because, like, Raylene's store is open on Thanksgiving. And she's like, it's so stupid, none of the other stores around are open Thanksgiving. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's the point. Like, corporate's like, great, we'll be the only ones. Everybody will come to us on Thanksgiving so that they don't have to go on Black Friday and they'll get it.
But that's still shop car.
Go on, yeah. It's a shop.
It's still shop go. So, you
find anything in shop. Yeah. Like, shop goes open, I found a sock.
The point is, being the only place open on Thanksgiving is amazingly good for you. But then when everybody's open, it's just stupid. And so the pendulum's just going to swing back and forth, I think. It's just the arms race. Like, originally Black Friday, nobody opened early. And then one store's like, I'll just open an hour earlier. And boom, everybody shop there. And it...
Yeah, until you have people sitting in line overnight in front of a Best Buy to get a $10 TV.
No discount on Black Friday has ever been worth sitting outside in the cold for 10 hours.
Well, the thing is, the things that
outside
are...
Outside of Wisconsin, it's much better here.
Well, especially the things that those free TVs are always the worst quality TVs, and they always only have, like, three of them. And it is fun to watch, like, humanity just, like, fall apart at the door. It's like...
It's good, like, job. It's a $100 TV. Like, oh boy. Like, I'll just spend the $100. Like, it's worth it to not go through that shit.
The best things, though, is most places will actually give you the Black Friday price if you buy the TV within, like, that 2 week window.
Oh, sometimes, so nobody I've worked with. They'll all say, go fuck yourself.
That's how I got my TV. My TV actually got
who did that?
Best Buy, actually.
Wow, well, there's usually the early morning. There's like there's generic Black Friday sales, but then there's like the special
doorbusters that are
6 a.m. to 10 a.m. only sales. Like, those probably wouldn't get, correct. But the ad for that weekend might be watched for a while. There's so many layers upon layers of sales, like the 6 to 6:05 sale.
And a sale item versus a doorbuster item. There's a big difference. Yeah.
I'm so glad that my family has not made that. Has not made that like a tradition is to go out, hang out in front of stores to go shopping beforehand. And I know families that do that, and that's.
I have a lot of crazy hobbies, but I just don't do that.
Yeah.
I will say, the one thing I did do instead of that's fancy, you just did on the screen, but the one thing I didn't do because of the Scorncast podcast, I spent actually 8 hours test driving cars on Saturday. So instead of podcasting for 8 hours, I just drove cars all day for 8 hours. I should have filmed that. Like, watch Brian just deal a salesman for 8 hours of his life.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I agree with Tort. Black Mirror is overrated.
I do want to watch it. Some of the new stuff, it looks intriguing. Like, I feel like I could watch it. It's neat, but I don't know.
Like a modern Twilight Zone.
Yeah. It's the, you know, sci-fi. They're all very sci-fi, though. Like, mostly dystopian future and stuff like that. But they're okay. Like, one or two of the episodes I thought were really good. One or two of the episodes I thought were mediocre or were bad, and some were in the middle. It's not the godsend that a lot. Like, people are like, every episode of Black Mirror is orgasm-inducing masterpiece. It's like, no.
But I would watch a series for those couple. I mean, when you enjoy that kind of style, like I don't think every Twilight Zone episode is great. I mean, there's some good, some bad. I mean, you watch a series and a couple stick out, you're like, okay, and then you can, you know, they're very memorable. Yeah. So I do want to watch it. I'm almost done with the current season of Longmire, and then I have to watch Voltron, and then I'm going to watch Bates Motel. I have a very complicated, very set pattern of shows I need to watch.
I forgot that Longmire existed.
Yeah, I'm on episode 8 now. Everyone's dead.
Damn it!
He started murdering everyone. Indians started. It was an uprising. It was like the new revolution in America.
The Westworld, the weird cannibals in that.
Yeah, well, Westworld is amazing.
Is really cool. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I saw the movie. The movie's really good. Yul Brynner walking through that river.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I've never seen it.
It's about a Western where theme they're all robots. And it goes wrong.
Yeah.
It goes wrong, yeah.
Michael Crichton has problems. He must have had a very traumatic experience when he was a child at a theme park.
Right.
Something happened to him as a child because, like, I mean, you know, Westworld and Jurassic Park.
And Sphere.
Spheres. Anyway.
Sphere.
Sphere.
Spheer.
But I don't know.
But yeah. So you drove cars all day
I drove
Saturday.
Cars.
But did you at least drive amazing cars, just knowing you weren't going to buy them? Just go to the Porsche dealership and
no,
say...
No, I didn't go too crazy. I mean, I drove...
I need a car to drive to my yacht.
I test drove all new vehicles, like a Mazda 6, which was that was probably the sportiest car. It's still a sedan. But I was surprised how much I like the Kia Optima. That's what I'm heavily leaning towards a Kia for my purchase.
Midlife, man, test drive a Ferrari. You don't have to buy it, just test drive a Ferrari.
When I was at the dealerships, I mean, like the guy that, like, the, I could have drove a much fancier Mazda, and the guy was like, you take keys and come back whenever you want. I was like, I probably could have went crazy, but I don't really like, honestly, to me, the excitement is going into these new cars and seeing the 75,000 features. See, I mean, that to me, like, driving a fast car doesn't do anything for me, but sitting down and seeing, like, 75, I feel like I'm in a space shuttle with all these things these vehicles can do nowadays. To me, that's the exciting part.
I want a dashboard that has all just buttons that do nothing. That I just want to like click, click, click. All right, yeah. Engage.
Well, the key I'm looking at has heated seats, cooled seats, you know, heated steering wheel, and not to mention a million other things. It's, you know.
You just need to get one of the Teslas that self-drives.
They're
not out yet.
I might lease this vehicle for 3 years. So, because, I mean, I want to see those Teslas come out for a year or two. And if I lease a car for 3 years, and in 3 years I'll see if those Teslas actually, you know, were good or if they were shit. Because if those cars are amazing, it's going to force all the other companies to kind of go that route. But if they're shit, then it's going to go back to the way it is. So it's going to be interesting to see. And you know, people, you hear so much whether leasing's good or bad and yada. It's a pain in the ass.
Throwing money away.
Yeah, but I know. It's so many things.
It's a good point, though. If you want to have like a modern car all the time, you're going to be paying. I mean, it's either, yes, you're going to own the car or you're just basically going to be, in a sense, buying your time with the car.
Yeah, and leases aren't that expensive. And if you keep a car, I keep my car, my last two cars, I kept so long that by the time that I was done with them, they had basically no trade-in value. So it's not like if I would buy a car and try to sell every 5 years.
But you had
years,
a while after they were paid off, at least. True. You know what I mean? So it's the people who buy a car, and then the instant it's paid off, trade it in and buy a new car, so they're always making payments anyway.
That's stupid.
That's no, well, and it's no different than leasing then. Yeah, they might as well be leasing.
Well, in a lot of leasing, I have such good credit. I could lease with no money down and get a good cheap. And leasing is much less expensive than buying, as long as you don't go over your mileage, whatever, per year. And I love not taking care of my car, as far as like having, like, you know, being under the full warranty of a new car would be nice, because then everything's taken care of other than like your oil changes or whatever, or yeah, tires. So
yeah, warranty is a big thing under a lease as well.
So I'm tempted. I mean, I have to like look at the pros and cons, but I don't know. The Chevy Malibu was pretty cool. I got lucky. I went out with the Chevy place, had this like big trade thing going on, so they were grilling food. The Toyota place had all sorts of like cookies and popcorn for me, so I was just being fed all day. Basically, I didn't eat anything. I didn't have to make my own food on Saturday because all the car places were feeding me all day. So that was a little bit of a perk, wandering around.
So, quick question. Andy, I know you watch Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
See the one with the veteran?
If that was the newest one, I did not watch it yet.
Oh, never mind then.
Damn it.
I had a question that's a massive spoiler, but I won't
ask
it now.
Go ahead. I'll watch it anyway.
Did Riggs do something crazy?
Actually, Murtaugh did the crazy thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Riggs did it with him, and he was like, oh, wow, I've done crazier, and it was wacky. But they throw a bomb out a window.
Sure.
So they can shoot the bomb and make it blow up outside the building, which is fine. Throw it out and then shoot it.
Movies. Yes.
But that wasn't step one and two. That was step one and three. They're like 50 stories up. Step one was throw the bomb out the window. Step two was jump out of the window and do a backflip so that step three could be shoot the bomb while you're plummeting out of the like, you know, the whatever story building window.
Okay.
I didn't understand the necessity of part two.
Part two?
Like, you can just shoot it from in the building and be fine.
Part two is to make it action-packed.
Like, I'm like, oh, he's gonna throw the bomb out the window, and then he jumps out the window and then throws the bomb up. I'm like, well, just throw it diagonal.
Wait, no. So it was even more different.
Murtaugh jumps out the window, yeah, throws the bomb up so that Riggs can jump out the window and shoot the bomb so that they can both fall like 20 stories into a swimming pool. I just don't understand. Like, throw a chair through the window, just throw the bomb out, and then shoot it and not fall.
If you understood science, you understand.
Yeah. Those were necessary steps. Yeah.
God damn it. Why did the Mythbusters have to retire?
Well, I mean, the myth was only whether you could fall, you know, however many stories it was into a pool.
Well, I see
step one and two are
it.
Certainly doable. Jumping out a window and throwing a bomb and jumping out a window and shooting something, I'm sure you can do.
You can fall into a pool from any distance. Any
That's
height.
Fair. The surviving part.
I don't know what it is about that show, and oddly, the weird thing about this is Jim actually kind of likes it too. It's entertaining. As much as folks that
dumb can be
that claim you know, like, oh, Lethal Weapon's a national treasure. We should never touch it.
I mean, no one said that.
Yeah, well,
no. Yeah, no.
I actually know of one person
who said that. Because if they meant that, they wouldn't have made 2, 3, or 4, or 5, no, or no. 7, or 18, or however many they got up to. 2,
3, and 4 are actually all good, too. Kay. All of them are good.
2 is the weakest. I like all of
them.
2
is the one with what's-his-face with the flame, or is he in, he's in, no, in the first one?
No, 2 is different. No, 3. I think 3 is the, three is the weak one.
Is the real true sidekick with Joe Pesci.
Because that's the one where he gets all... Because that's the one where Murtaugh is sad about killing people. He's
Does
like,
four
oh,
have
people
Jet
are
Li?
Dying.
Is 3 four, Joe Pesci, 4 is Jet Li?
Yep.
Yeah. Which is like Jet Li's big thing into America.
It's, yeah, it's
before
one of
that,
first
he was like unknown.
Two
in
the, is the, I don't know which one is the worst
two,
one.
2 is the diplomatic community.
Yeah, that which is great, but isn't 2 the one where he gets mad because he kills a kid?
I don't remember.
There's like violence, and like one guy gets mad. Oh, we killed someone. We shouldn't be violent. It's like really weird, and then they start killing people again.
I do feel it's unfair that Lethal Weapon is not mentioned as one of the better Christmas films out there, too.
Well, Die Hard steals the ironic thunder.
Correct.
Like, you talk about actual Christmas movies, and then when you want to be edgy, you say Die Hard. There's no room for a second edgy answer.
Now
you got like Krampus and Black Christmas and stuff like
Bad
that.
Bad Santa.
Yeah. Man, Bad Santa 2.
E.T.
It looks horrible.
It looks really bad.
It makes me so sad. I mentioned this to him. I watched the trailer. Man, I liked the first one so much.
You
Maybe
want to
this,
like it.
I
want to
like the second one.
It's like watching the trailer for A Christmas Story 2.
Oh.
You should.
There was no hope for Christmas Story 2. Like, when you wait like 50 years to release a movie that then nobody's involved in. Because the thing is, there actually already was a sequel to Christmas Story that's obscure enough, but was surprisingly good. And I have a sneeze up here. But it runs in the family, and they had Charles Grodin as the dad instead of what's-his-face. But it was actually okay. Mm. It's very, very similar. It feels like Christmas Story. It's actually very similar in feel. It doesn't feel like an abomination like Christmas Story 2.
Audience mentioned Gremlins. I said Gremlins.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna add Black Mirror to my shows to watch, just to watch it and be like... Okay,
there's only like a dozen total episodes. Like, you can get through it.
I mean, I watched all... You recommended that show last week. I watched all of it by Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, it was short.
Black Mirror is worth watching. I just think that, you know, it's not the second coming. There's like 2 of the episodes in the first one are amazing.
Did you watch the second season yet or no?
I have not watched the second season yet, so I don't know how good the second season is. But the first episode of the first season, I was kind of off-putting. I didn't actually like it. People talk about it a lot. It's like, it's infamous, but I don't think it's necessarily good. But then the second season, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's worth watching. Whatever, fuck it.
I still haven't finished watching the new season of BoJack Horseman either. I'm behind in some of my shows.
It's a laugh riot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode has heroin overdoses. Or this season has heroin overdoses. Like,
nice.
Like...
I'll watch it, but it will probably be for a little bit. I think I feel like I have to watch 1 through season 1 and 2 again, because I don't remember much about it.
Yeah. Season 1, they write as memoirs. Season 2
makes a movie.
Yeah, and then season 3 is about the Oscar race for the movie.
Okay.
Season 2 ends with him, trying to recapture his past by visiting an old flame and then almost fucking her daughter and ruining everything.
It's hilarious.
Good times.
Shenanigans. But yeah. So everyone should buy a car. That's my thought.
Yeah. So much I would fun. Say we should lease them.
Well, it is exciting. I am gonna go with new, which is...
No!
Yes.
Yeah.
New.
Why not?
Because you get like last year's model that still hasn't been driven off the lot because nobody's bought it, and it saves you like $10,000.
It's actually not that much. There are differences. The interest rates you can get on a 2016 is slightly better than 2017, and even a new 2016 is still new. I'm looking at a 2016 Kia.
Okay, all right.
And I'm still talking brand new off the lot. I'm not necessarily saying brand new 2017 model.
Okay, there's a difference then. Yes, yes.
But I'm looking at an undriven car.
Yes. Okay, that's cool. I can agree with undriven car. Yeah. I can't agree with the 2017, because then they just gouge you. Like, you get a 16 that nobody's bought, and it's just strictly
what
better.
They do more than gouge you is they'll say that on the 16, you can get 0% interest or in something else. On the 17, you can't get that. Like, you just don't get the same benefits
right on
it. The cost, even if the cost is within $500, you know, losing zero interest is a pretty big deal. Like, yeah. I can get a zero interest 5-year loan on a Toyota, which is pretty crazy. Or actually, it was a 6-year no interest, zero interest loan, which is a pretty big deal on a car.
Jesus! So you're just making principal payments the entire time.
Yep.
That's
pretty good. The benefit of being debt free and being in the top credit rating score gives you some perks.
Yeah.
Took a little bit of work. A little bit of work. I have to buy a car now before I can destroy my credit.
I need to build my credit so I can get a Nintendo Switch. Because, goddamn, that system.
What's hilarious, like, last week I was just thinking that, I'm like, man, nobody gives a shit about Nintendo anymore. Like, the Wii U, like, nobody cares.
It's you a know? Good system, but they didn't really put a lot of oomph behind it, it seemed like. Other than, you know, just a random Zelda game.
It came out with very little fanfare.
Yeah.
It
felt like it was an upgrade to the Wii, in a sense.
The console war is it feels like it's PlayStation versus Xbox now. And maybe it's because I don't live in Japan. Maybe Nintendo's still huge there, but nobody, like, when I talk to friends about, like, oh, what system are you going to get, or blah, 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 nobody even, like, we just all, like, Nintendo's not even an entity in the brain anymore. Like, you also know Mario. Like, Mario's a cultural icon. You know, Zelda, this, Metroid, but actually owning one? I don't think I know anybody that owns a Nintendo Wii U.
No.
You know?
Probably
one-tenth of the people I know had a Wii.
My break into the console of that's at the same time as Xbox and PlayStation is the new 3DS XL or whatever it is.
Like a DS, sure. Yeah. I know lots of people that have DSs, you know, or some version of a DS, the 3DS or whatever.
When they showed the new Zelda game at this year, was the first time I saw people excited about Nintendo for a while.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I guess I'm buying the new Nintendo system, whatever the fuck it is, because I need to play that Zelda game for about a month straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't seen the video. I assume that you saw the video for the Switch.
Although I still haven't forgiven them for making Link right-handed for the Wii, but, you know.
What? Jesus Christ.
Link's left-handed. It's canonical.
Don't matter.
But since the Wii's motion control and most people are righty, they made the character right-handed.
Bullshit. I mean, Link has actually been different. He's been similar characters, but I don't believe he's actually been the actual same Link as in all the Zelda games.
You should see. Down a rabbit hole.
I know.
Like, there are people who have written 10,000-word treaties about this fucking topic. There are so many theories, like all this like time travel shenanigans to try to make him be one character versus many. It's insane the amount that people have put
him
into
and
this.
Mega Man, same problem.
Oh, there's two Mega Mans. God. There's Mega Man and there's X. That's it.
It's like, yeah.
Well, now there's Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, I don't think Mighty Number 9 is included with the with the canon that is Mega Man.
Bullshit.
Other than the person that made the Mega Man games, or helped make some of the Mega Man games, helped out with that, and he did a shitty job.
Is it not good?
I've heard nothing but bad things.
Yeah. What about the new Castlevania style game that got kickstarted by the guy who did Symphony of the Night?
That one is still going, and I've seen video reviews of what they have for like a playable demos and that, and it's pretty good.
Hooray!
Speaking of Kickstarter, I'm gonna get. I guess it wasn't Kickstarter, but I'm getting my Mechs versus Minions game tomorrow in the mail, and I'm very excited.
Are you gonna actually show up to work today, tomorrow, so I can actually talk to you?
I'll be at work tomorrow.
But you can't play Mech vs. Minions because you're still playing Terraforming Mars.
I know, that's a problem. But Mech vs. Minions is a campaign game too. It's all co-op, so I just gotta figure out a time to play it.
But we're gonna do campaign of Risk Legacy. We all committed to that.
Yes, I'm up for that too.
You can't play Mech vs. Minions till we're done with Risk Legacy.
No.
Or until Mars is actually terraformed.
Mario's been terraformed a lot. I've played that game now, I think, 11, 12
times. I mean
in
real life.
Oh. Whoa. I showed someone new how to play War of the Ring last week. It was very exciting.
Nice.
Always good.
Total complete stranger, too.
Yeah, random guy came to my house. Who was my War of the Ring? Coming to my
Friday
house.
Friday already?
Yeah. That's a guy in the local board game like group thing.
And I'm bored?
Yeah, I'm bored. The guy posted. We couldn't go to the game store on the day we wanted to play, so he just came to my place. He lived in the west side, and I showed him how to play. I forgot showing someone brand new how to play the game takes a few minutes. You read the rule.
Yeah, because that's a real understandable rule book. Like, yeah, there's no confusion there.
Yeah, it's a very in-depth game.
Was he at least the Shadow? The Shadow seems easier.
I had him be... I wasn't sure what would be easier. I had him play the Free Peoples, probably was harder.
But. I think Shadow's easier. Plus, all you have to do is the Free People is if it looks like he's not doing well, just don't advance the fellow. Yeah. Like, as a player who's played the game, I know that every single turn you have to advance the Fellowship. It doesn't... You could tell me I played a card that makes it guaranteed you will be caught.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I need to advance every turn. I will take the damage. I will kill off Legolas. I need to move.
Yeah.
because every turn matters. Like, because the shadow, like, you look like you have all this breathing room, and then all the sudden the shadow conquers 17 places in one turn, and you lose. So, you know.
I just kind of walked around in circles for a little while, and just slowly attacked, and just did a couple things to let him, you know, I let him win, but it was a close. I still made it close. Still close. I mean, he still had, like, no characters left, and, like, 3 corruption spare.
I hope he's listening, and now he's sad because he thought he won for real.
He's not listening.
Nobody's listening.
Nobody's. We just have Tort and Non-Euclidean Nick.
And Miso Miso.
And Miso Miso. That's all we need. That's all we need in life for those 3 guys.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And Adam's not in there. That's the other important thing.
Take that, does Adam. Anybody own Dark Souls?
Yeah, lots of people own Dark Souls. It's a very popular game.
No, I mean like in our group. In our gaming group.
It's too obvious, but I know.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure a lot of people...
I can buy it on the way home.
I'm even sure a lot of us own it, but most people probably own it like on Steam or they've downloaded it or...
I'd have to copies. Play it on... I'd have to do it on the... Is it it's on the PS4, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, there's Dark Souls, there's Demon Souls, there's Dark Souls 2, there's Bloodborne. So you got options.
Well, the original Dark Souls people love the most, which is also they've all gotten slightly easier, I'm told, but they all are very hard. But the first Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2, I'm told, are like the first two are the most ridiculous.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm also told they're amazing.
I mean, one of my coworkers is absolutely obsessed with them. Like he just beyond, like, played it way more than you've played any Witcher game. Just like, you know, all in.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair.
I need to get a PlayStation camera so I can actually do a picture-in-picture if I'm playing it, because I'm sure people want to see my angry face when I'm losing to random boss all the time.
So,
I do get better at those games, though. I am brute forcing them, but I do get better.
I did.
Ish.
I'll spoil this, whatever. So I think it's in the first Dark Souls where the very first boss, like, you basically can't beat when you first get to him, but it's close enough that you think that maybe you can, but you're just supposed to run away. Like, the game's just like, this thing's big and scary, don't even bother.
Sure.
But people try to brute force it, and it's just a miserable experience. And so it's the game just teaching you that you're allowed to run from shit. But seeing people who don't realize that, like, playing the game for the first time, it's just like, aw, sweetie.
Well, it's one of those games where that's why I like Dragon's, because they always say Dragon's Dogma is kind of like a very close cousin of that game, where it's very, very difficult, but it's not quite impossible, but it still adds that super challenging element to it. But you don't necessarily spend 4 hours on a boss. Which, I mean, and I get it. If that's fun for a certain type of people, good for them, but man, I can do so much more with my time.
The scary thing is I'm really thinking about loading up my Xbox 360 for the first time in maybe like 2 years, 3 years or so. So I can play some Red Dead Redemption to get myself prepared to play Red Dead 2.
You die and then your kid's there at the end.
I could do that too, but I just want to... Because my fear is I would play too much of it and then get sick of it. And then by the time the second one comes up, like, I just played a Cowboy for the last 50 hours, so now I'm bored of it. But Red Dead Redemption 2 will be amazing, hopefully.
What was the other one that wasn't Red Dead Redemption, but that was kind of like it? That was basically just cowboy.
That's what they brought Grand Theft Auto. Are you talking about actual like Red Dead Revolver?
No.
Or are you talking about Call of Juarez?
Maybe I'm thinking of that. I don't know. No, it's because it wasn't like a spinoff or anything. It was just a similar game that came out around the same time. Maybe
it is.
I don't know. Forget. Non-Euclidean Nick says he played the old Knizia Lord of the Rings co-op game. Did we ever play that one? That's a fun one. But he played it with the Sauron expansion. The Sauron expansion for that game is the worst expansion I've ever played in my life. It's terrible. I think it's literally impossible for... So, imagine playing Battlestar Galactica.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The base one, already hard enough as the humans. Now, imagine that you introduced an extra Cylon player.
Sure.
Who... All he did was, instead of you drawing the crisis at the end of your turn, he just looked through the deck and just intelligently, based on the situation of the game, just picked the worst possible one to fuck you over. Every turn. You just can't win. And the Sauron expansion for that, it took a pure co-op game and introduced a bad guy who basically, instead of rolling the die of badness, he would just pick the worst possible thing every time. It's just unwinnable garbage. All the other expansions are good. Gun! That was what it called. Thank you, Arctic Circle. It was called Gun. It was just like Cowboy Grand Theft Auto. You just did missions and ran around and did all kinds of shit. And
I think, well, if you look at it, Call of Juarez is very similar to that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Call of Juarez.
It was a Western style.
Yeah. No, I think he's being held up by a gun. I think it's completely unrelated. He's like, help me, someone has a gun.
Or there's someone behind us with a gun. he's trying to warn us. I refuse to look.
Gun!
Well, you know, then we all died. The end.
But I do recommend the old Reiner Knizia Lord of the Rings co-op game, but with every other expansion except Sauron.
We've played it a few times.
Friends and Foes. But I don't have any of the expansions. But the Friends and Foes expansion and the Battlefield expansion are both amazing. I only have the core one. It suffers from the standard co-op thing where one person can just play it solo, essentially, and boss the others around. But it's fun. It's fluffy.
That's why I'm excited about Mechs vs. Minions, because it's co-op, but it has a timer element, yep. So you can't just... have some boss everyone around.
Hungerford recommended a game called Damage Report to me years ago, and they have a demo copy at Pegasus, and so I'm gonna go see if they'll sell it to me for like half price, because it's just gathering dust, because that's a space co-op game with actual sand timers that like dictate when you can do actions, so it has that real-time thing to it.
I like games without alpha gamers,
right?
It's so good.
I'm almost to the point where I won't play a co-op game that doesn't have a real-time stress thing. Like, we need to play a lot more XCOM.
Yes, I would.
We haven't played that in forever.
There's an expansion coming out. The only reason I haven't brought it out, because whenever there's like an expansion coming out for a game, I kind of put the game on the shelf until the expansion comes out, because I just don't want to like play too much and the expansion comes out, and people are like, well, I played recently, so I don't care.
Right.
But, yeah.
I was going to say, it kind of feels kind of similar to that with War Machine for me right now, is I want to play, but I'm really wanting to see the change.
I'm on hold until the errata. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't think the game is bad, but I mean, I'm so intrigued by what they're going to do that I just don't care right now.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, and also I'm very, very...
You got a lot of other stuff going on, yeah, so, it's fine.
If I didn't have other things going on, I would still play, but I mean, I'm very much into... I mean, I have multiple board game nights going on that I'm going on. I'm addicted to multiple video games right now, so I don't mind that way. But I mean, but it's different. This is the first time where I'm not playing because I'm not happy. I'm just excited for what's about to happen.
Right.
Which is a whole different not playing reason.
Yeah.
I mean, same result, but different.
Well, and especially because, like, personality-wise, like, you do a lot of... Very often you treat playing the game like research almost, like experiments. It's not necessarily just playing to have fun. You're playing to see what happens with Resheth using this unit, or what happens with this, blah, 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 blah. And so for the next 4 months, all of your research is invalid.
Yeah.
You are being preemptively told anything you do to test is irrelevant 4 months from now. And so for you especially, that's just killing the desire.
Yeah.
For someone who's more of just, I like playing game,
yeah,
who the fuck cares? Yeah. Game will be different soon. Or even for a really hyper-competitive person, for the next 4 months, they can still crush people and win and feel good about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And win tournaments.
If you're playing Magic 2 right now, you want to play the fuck out of them if you want to win, because you know that's going away, and you need to get your little eagle built up as much as you can now, because your toy is going to be nerfed.
But of the three of us, you're the one who's the most methodical with like long-term research with trying things out, and so it's no surprise that right now you're just on holding pattern. Yeah. Me, I just try random shit on a whim, so it doesn't matter. If the errata was next Tuesday, I would still just pick something else to play this week.
If I wasn't playing Overwatch like 8 hours a day, I probably would help too.
That reminds me of a cool thing I found out. Do you hear? So the guy who did the voice of MacReady?
Yeah.
He loves Overwatch. He actually plays the game,
okay,
which is cool.
He's very popular.
It's high noon.
But he's
MacReady.
McCree, rather. Sorry,
but
McCree.
What's his name? I can't think. He's very popular.
Whatever. The point is, he loves playing the game, but what he also loves doing is occasionally, in voice chat, just going, it's high noon, and people flip the fuck out, because they just hear it, and they start running for cover.
Does he do it when there's not a McCree on the board?
Be even better. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They're running high. They're like, wait, there's not even a McCree.
Well, the cool thing, when McCree does it's high noon, like... When the opponent player does it, that's what he says. But if he's on your team, he says something else. Each ultimate has a different sound cue based if it's friendly or enemy. So when he says it, you always think the enemy guy.
You're on the receiving end. Yeah, exactly.
Which is great, because it always...
But his friends hear it, because voice chat is your team only. Yeah. So he does it just to freak out his own teammates.
Yeah. I think he does a Critical Role thing that Al Travis likes. It's supposedly him and a bunch of other voice actors do a weekly podcast or a monthly podcast of them playing D&D. And supposedly it's just an amazing thing. I know Travis loves it. Chris loves it too. And I know the guy who plays it does it. I think it's, I can't even think of his name. I'm probably going to yell at by someone. I don't care that much about who voice actors are. I mean, I respect them, and I know they're pretty cool, and I watch them every so often. Every so often, I watch videos of them, and they do amazing things in interviews. It's hilarious.
I like them on things that I like.
Yeah.
it sounds bad, but no, I mean, I recognize the voices, like the some of the voices for like Soul Reaver.
It's Matthew Mercer.
Mercer. I knew that Mercer. I was so close. I kept thinking Mercer. I'm like, that's not right.
But yeah. The similar to that Critical Role thing is Harmon Quest. And I keep thinking about, because it's on its own unique streaming service. Mm-hmm. And so, but they do like a 1 week trial. And so one of these days I'm going to just do the 1 week trial of that service and just marathon all of Harmon Quest, because that looks funny.
A listener had told me about a podcast that had some comedians or some people I know that did some kind of gaming podcast too that he keeps messaging me about it, and I looked at it once and it looked really cool, and I listened to a sample. It was great, but then I forgot what it was, and that's my story.
You can't look back at your messages?
I could, but I'm at a lot of forums. I don't remember which forum you messaged me on. It's like, if I go through all my messages, it could have been Facebook too. I don't know.
Yeah, I've noticed on a couple podcasts podcasts and just general shows I watch, mainly it's the Rooster Teeth folks. They have a couple of D&D groups that they run on a regular basis. Which seems like that would be kind of boring for anybody watching it, but they get a lot of hits on those videos.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember a racist thing. You're welcome, Tor. I remember a fairly racist thing I remember when I was shopping for cars. So a lot of when I was shopping for, it's a very short story. I was shopping for cars, and a lot of the cars have voice activation features. And most of the salesmen were always showing me how the voice features worked. Well, in the Kia, the guy trying to show me the voice, he was like I'm going to say Japanese, but he was, you know,
some Asian persuasion.
He was Asian. And he would talk to the car, and the car would be like, what? It's just like the car does not respect him at all.
It's like the HP cameras that wouldn't recognize black people.
Yeah. Correct. He kept saying it. And I'm like, wow, this car is racist. And I'm like, I got to buy this one just for that. But it was terrible. But that's all I had. It just, someone mentioned racism, and I just remembered that racist car.
I don't remember mentioning racism.
You subliminally messaged me.
Oh, okay.
Just Nathan's presence.
Yeah, that right. Racism.
It's racism or underage girls. The two things that, you know, you trigger. I'm just saying. Those are your gimmicks.
Listen.
You make one comment about Super 8. And
I mean, I would say you're more about the underage woman than the racism. You minor in racism, but you major in underage attractive women.
I saw Let the Right One In with you. I know you were squinting too.
I'm not talking about me right now. That's not important.
Anyway. McCree likes Free Overwatch. Frame. That's the important story.
McCree.
Awesome. Yeah, I played a bunch of games of that over the weekend, too. And I finally beat WoW. I'm done.
Yay!
No, I'm not done. I finally got my pet
You achieved the thing you needed to
achieve. I achieved the one achievement that if you go strictly by WoW standards, it would take you about 2 years to complete.
And you've been doing it...
I cheated. I didn't really cheat. I just... I still had to wait for trainers to come up for the pet achievement.
Yeah.
But since I wasn't people who play will know what I'm talking about. Since I wasn't active doing world quests with that character, I didn't unlock those. Meant I could repeat those quests more than once.
Ah.
Instead of just once a day.
When you play an MMO, you have to know how to manipulate the system, because the system is designed to make what you want to do take as long as possible. So you play the game long as possible, give them as much money. But when you want to get something done, you're like, well, you can see the pattern. Okay, if I do it the way they want, it's going to take me 12 months. I want it now.
Right.
So people spend a lot of time figuring out how to get that thing now instead of 12 months from now.
So, like,
that's just problem solving. That's not cheating.
There's this quest. There's this quest that did not show up since release of Legion. And maybe it showed up like early when somebody wasn't 110 yet. But this world quest didn't show up for like 2 months. Which, going by that, I had to beat that world boss 10 times with 12 different, or 10 times with different battles each time. And if it doesn't, if it shows up once every 2 months, I mean, that's a fucking long months. Time.
Boom.
But you said fuck that noise?
Nah, well, yeah.
That's fine.
I saw some other people had suggested it. It's like, here, this is a way that you could do it too. You just don't have, you have another character that doesn't, has not completed their war quests.
That's the other best thing when you have a popular MMO. You're like, I want to do this thing, but I don't want to do the math to figure it out. You just Google search and some other crazy person's already figured it out for you.
Yeah.
And you just like copy them. And of course they did. They're proud of themselves. They'll put the how-to video on the web. Yeah. They want the hits. I'm like, perfect.
I'm still having fun with the game. Chris and I play all the time still.
Man, Overwatch has been fun. I should, when the season ends, get my golden weapon now. I'm very excited.
Wow. Nice.
But, man, I can't catch a break sometimes. I join a guy. I know this guy. His name's Han Solo in the game. He's a cool guy. He invites me to his group. And it's fun to play competitive Overwatch with, like, three or four people. You don't necessarily want to have a full group because then you fight full groups. And then you have to, whoever's better is better. When you have, like, partial groups, for whatever reason, partial groups, I have the most luck in. Mm-hmm. My win rate is super high.
Well, because if you do full group, you match up another full group, and if they're a really good group, they'll fuck you.
Yeah, if
it's partial versus partial, they're also a grab
bag.
Well,
there are three to four people I play with a lot, so I'm more in sync. But there aren't. I mean, if I had six people I was in sync with, then I would enjoy it more. So I join him, and he has five. I join. Suddenly, now we're in a full group, and I look, and he have a rating scale. I'm like in the 2300 rating scale area, and it goes up to like most. When you get over 3,000, it's really fucking good and amazing, like 10% or above that. And they're all like 2,900.
Yeah.
So there's like everyone in this group is much higher rated than me and then me. We go into a game, which of course pulls up the ratings, so we're fighting people more on their level. And then it was one of those that was best of five, and we lost 3-2. It was, every match was very close. But man, all they did was yell at each other like the entire time. Because they're all... I mean, they were all shouting all these things at each other, and it was all good. It was just you could tell they didn't play that much together, so they were just, you know.
Sure.
It was fun to watch people who were obviously good at the game just get frustrated with each other than me just trying to like not look like an idiot around these people. It was insane. It's fun though to play against people that high, because when you play this game, I played enough to recognize someone who's really good. Like I can have my moments, and at my level, I feel I'm good at my level. But when I play with the upper tier people, I can definitely tell they're better than me. They're, like, there's no question. When I watch someone like the McCree, when someone plays that character and he's good, he just owns teams. It's amazing. Or someone who plays a good Ninja Genji character, it's just amazing to watch them go. But it's just also frustrating when they're, you know, you just die to them. And it's like nothing you can do. You know it and they know it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and die in the corner. But yeah, it's still fun. It's a very addicting game. And I got more Halloween skins. Very excited. I got my Reaper Halloween skin now.
I think I'm pretty much set on those. I think the only one I really need, I don't think I have the Ghoul Anna yet. I need to get that one. But or the Gravestone Bastion. But
gotcha.
I don't play Bastion that much anymore, so.
Bastion's a great game.
I don't play it. Really I don't like just narrative, just kind of spewing out at me.
The narrator's amazing, fuck you.
The only time you see Bastion really in competitive is either A on defense early, or halfway through a game someone will do surprise Bastion, which catch your opponent off guard, then they switch off of them. But which will actually screw up a team pretty bad. You're running around and suddenly there's a Bastion, you're like, holy fuck, because you know, this like tank machine gun guy appears out of nowhere. He has a million counters, but halfway through the game you don't expect him, so
yeah,
surprise. Surprise Bastion's a legit tactic.
I've run into that a few times in our game. Suddenly we're just coming around a corner, we're just pushing the payload up, and all of a sudden our flank is just destroyed.
And then he changes someone else. You think there's going to be a Bastion, but then he's gone, and surprise, he's back a little bit later. Those are kind of fun. Good times. It's one game. And which played? Do we have any topics?
We're only like less than an hour in right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, we're just tearing along.
Tearing along.
We watched a Ouija movie. It wasn't bad. Another topic.
The odd thing is, yeah, that actually had decent ratings on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I thought the ending
movie
wasn't...
it's a prequel to has very bad ratings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the first Ouija movie. This is a prequel to Ouija that came out like two, 3 years ago, and that movie's terrible.
This movie I liked. I did feel some horror movies can hold it together. I thought the movie, the logic sort of fell apart at the end. Like the dad, I thought the dad was like, you know, helping her, but then it, you know, that none of that mattered. And
correct.
There's a lot of things that happened that could have been neat, but they had to go for kind of a gimmicky like ooh ending.
Well, also the last 10 minutes had to make it be in the position it was in at the beginning of the other film.
I guess
we got home and Raylene read me the summary of the original Ouija movie. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that makes sense why everything that happened in the end didn't make sense to me. It was going one direction, and then they're like 99% of the way through the movie, and they're like, well, shit, in the original movie, it's like this, so change everything. And they just take a hard left.
Which is a shame. It is what it is, but I think it would have been it was a fine. It was okay. But I think because it like swerved to fit into the other movie's requirements, I think it would have been a little bit, I think it lost a little bit of quality because of that.
Yeah, I think the high ratings are just because, so it's a very cookie cutter film. It's very standard, you know, there's ghosts and they're mean and oh no, and ghosts. But it doesn't blatantly fuck anything up. Like there's no massive plot holes. None of the characters are obnoxiously stupid. It's very well, solidly executed.
Yeah.
And so that's good enough to give it the 80%.
Yeah, the story's solid enough. The acting's fine. It doesn't have any like gaping, people aren't just being stupid or causing problems. It's all very... You know, it's actually things are falling apart because of things they don't realize happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's fine, you know, and I think that's for it's weird how Rotten Tomatoes rating system works, you know, because if every single reviewer gives a movie a 59%, it gets a 0. But if every single reviewer gives it a 60%, it gets 100.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's, you know, so you can get a movie that's like, this movie is very, it's okay.
Sure.
And so 80% of people go, yeah, that's all right. So it gets an 80% out of 100, which is an amazing rating.
Yeah.
Whatever, we paid $5. It was worth $5.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was, there was enough fun things. There was enough fun little elements, and they had just enough creepiest elements going on that you wanted a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as good as The Conjuring, but I think The Conjuring was much better than this movie.
Yeah. The Conjuring just annoys me on a spiritual level because they always claim about the based on a true story, and the true story is that husband and wife team were con artists and lied and pretended all this shit was happening and ripped people off of their money, and then making movies claiming they were telling the truth just angers me.
And that's fine. I get that, but the movie itself is good.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The movie is all creepy and scary, but I just want to find the real people and just punch them in their faces over and over again.
I couldn't believe that. I would help you. But God, that's so creepy. That's a movie. If I can get creeped out in a movie, I'm always very happy because I love horror movies.
You seen Orphanage?
Yeah,
the Guillermo del Toro one in Spanish. That one creeped the shit out of me. Like nothing happens, but it's creepy the whole time. Like there's no boo moments, and so that was very frustrating. It blue balls you.
I don't like horror movies. Yeah. So
like It Follows, that worked for me even though it was the same
story. Yeah, exactly. That's very... Orphanage and It Follows are two movies where, like, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And because nothing happens, it's incredibly tense. True story.
Boom. I say boom a lot now.
You do?
It's because of Last Man on Earth. He's a role model.
I wish that movie had, or not movie, that show. I mean, I haven't watched recently. I watched like half of the first season, and it was fine, but I really enjoyed like the second episode. I wish there had been a lot more of just the two characters. I loved the dynamic between the two of them.
They added a lot of people really fast in that show.
Correct.
It cut off at some point, but you are, every episode they kept adding until they got to like a core number and then it stayed at that.
Sure, right. Like they wanted a sitcom with a dozen characters in it and they started with the one so that the title would make sense. And then, you know, every episode they just threw some more people in there. But like if there was a show that was literally just those two for like seasons, it could be amazing.
Yeah, it could. I think the show is still one of the best shows on TV right now.
Very well could be. But we mostly stopped just because Raylene hates January Jones. So as soon as she showed up, Raylene's like, fuck it, I'm out. And
her character is hilarious, though, because she just...
Who's that? That's
the blonde.
The blonde. Oh, okay. The third one that shows
she's
up.
She's hilarious because she's just the guns and just she doesn't care. She's got a very funny personality. She's very psycho.
She is slowly turned into that psycho style.
Yeah, it's great. My favorite kind.
like in theory.
I like the mom. I can't think of her name, but she's the mom that was in Step Brothers.
Sure.
I cannot think of her name at all, but the Will one Ferrell. That drinks all the time.
Yeah,
she's awesome as well. And most of the characters are really cool in there.
Indeed.
We're puttering.
So let me double check this in case I'm wrong. Do we all agree that Gotham is a terrible show?
It's the only show about superheroes I don't watch on TV.
Because apparently in the last, not the most recent, like yesterday came out, but prior to that, the most recent Muse on Minis, they all agreed that Gotham is the best comic book show on television.
That is not even a I cannot believe you said that.
I know.
That is wrong. I'm gonna defend them. I don't listen to them because who the fuck would do that?
Yeah.
But there is no way that they would say Gotham is the best show.
Are you sure?
And then Nigel comes into the thread and he talks about how it's amazing and it's perfect and it gets being a comic book just perfectly right and this character's good and that's good. And I'm like, this show's a fucking train wreck. It's a dumpster fire.
I've never watched it, so I might have to try it.
The first season is horrifically bad.
Okay.
Well, okay. The first three episodes are vomitously bad. And then the rest of the season is merely garbage. And then season two is also bad, and so I stopped after season two. So unless it got to be the greatest television show on the planet after that, they're liars or they're insane.
And season one, you're right, was truly awful to just terrible. Season two was just bad with moments of but still bad.
It just kept not being good, and I'm just I can't devote time to you. You're not redeeming yourself.
How do they say that?
How is it that's the best comic book show?
First of all, season two of Legends of Tomorrow has been stellar.
Okay,
season one had problems, and I would never defend it. But season two has been, you could tear apart every CW comic show to some degree. But even at their worst episodes are better than the best episode of Gotham. Bees chasing the Flash around is better than anything Gotham has done.
Gotham might have one or two episodes that were surprisingly decent.
Yeah.
So the worst versus the best, maybe not. But if you shave off two surprisingly not terrible episodes of Gotham, you're 100% right.
I should do research. I should watch Gotham because I have watched two seasons so far of Z Nation. And I have survived through them, and I'm still continuously watching Z Nation, because it does remind me of how horrible things can be. So maybe I should watch Gotham and find out if I like Gotham more than Z Nation.
iZombie is also based off of comics, and iZombie is amazing. iZombie is a show everyone should watch. Andy's recommended it. I've recommended it. Year ends. It's an enjoyable show that ends strongly, and I love shows that every season ends well. And that iZombie just fucking nailed. Gotham is terrible.
It is fucking terrible.
I am offended I want to travel to Iowa and just slap them all and then drive back. And Keith doesn't live that far away. Although I can't imagine he watches any of those shows, so I'm gonna give Keith a pass completely.
Because he was on Muse. I think he agreed. I can bring up their thread. I think they all jumped in the thread to even defend it. And it's just...
It's not possible.
It's so bad.
I mean, you could... Oh my god, my brain hurts.
I mean,
Fantastic Four movie is better than Gotham. It's whatever terrible comic book thing you think is the worst comic book thing, it's better than Gotham. It's so bad.
We're just talking specifically TV shows. I mean, all the Marvel Netflix shows are all good. Both Daredevils, Jessica Jones, and From My Hero, Luke Cage is good.
Yeah. They're probably counting that just the TV stuff.
The worst.
Yes,
they're counting just TV shows. I mean, you have the four that are on CW that are just...
Supergirl is great.
Fucking good. And she's just another Boy Scout, in a sense.
Nigel put in a ranking. I'm going to pull up his ranking see how he ranks. It doesn't go show by show, but it groups them. And so let me pull this up. You could say
Arrow season 3 of its 4 seasons is its weakest season. And I still think even that weak season of Arrow is still better than anything I've seen in Gotham. And Arrow season 3 is not very good. There is a lot of problems there.
Is that where they first start the crossovers with Flash?
Nigel ranks things. Gotham is greater than Netflix Marvel, which is greater than everything else not on the WB, which is greater than everything on the WB. So first of all, WB doesn't exist anymore. CW. He means CW.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's Gotham, then Netflix, then everything. So he says CW is the worst. If by WB he meant CW, he thinks CW is the worst.
If all you watched was season one of Arrow, because it was the first of that generation, you go. Season one of Arrow has a little bit too much of your CW girl drama. But if you watch The Flash, it's so good.
He's telling me that Mantis is better than The Flash?
Yes. Yeah, Mantis, the Sci-Fi Channel original series about a guy in a wheelchair with an exosuit. Yeah.
That is a bold statement.
Nightman. You remember Nightman?
Yes, I do remember Nightman.
That's better than Gotham.
Well, he does fight Dayman.
No. Nightman is not better than Gotham. Gotham is better than Nightman, and Nightman is better than Supergirl.
No, I am saying that Nightman is better than Gotham.
I don't remember anything about it, and I haven't seen Gotham, so I agree with
it. How can anyone say Gotham is better than everything?
It's so fucking terrible. Like,
it is amazing it has made three seasons on Fox, though.
Because it's terrible. They cancel good shit so that Gotham can shit along.
They probably paid so much for that fucking license.
The Penguin's okay. Like, he's the best part of that show.
The guy, I've seen him play. Yeah.
He's all right. He's got his moments. But everything just fucking terrible. Oh my God, Commissioner Gordon's wife is the worst character on television ever. Like, fucking ever. There's literally, so she's complaining to him that he never tells her anything about work. Okay, she's like, blah, 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 our marriage is going to be in shambles and I'm going to leave you because you never tell me anything about work, blah, 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 harangue, 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 harangue.
Okay.
So he says, okay, honey, well, here's one piece of information about a case I'm working on. And then she walks away from him, picks up the phone, calls the press, leaks what he just told him, and then hangs up the phone. Like, not in secret. She does it while he's watching. And it's like, are you fucking insane? No wonder he doesn't tell you shit, you psychotic woman. Like, you can't.
He's still married to her?
Oh, yeah. And then she goes crazy and becomes a serial killer. But she's still Barbara Gordon, and Batgirl is Barbara Gordon Jr., so I don't know if they get together again. Currently, he's fucking Dr. What's-Her-Face. What's the name of the doctor in the comics that's one of the few people who knows Batman's identity because he was his childhood doctor?
God, I cannot think of
anyway,
his name.
Anyway, he's currently fucking her. She's played by Maureen Baccarin.
Is it a guy?
It's a woman.
In the comics?
It's,
I thought it was a guy in the comics.
No. But anyway, she's the worst. Oh, that's right. They were fiancés at the point. They're whatever. They're not yet married. It's not his wife. But the point is, that literally is the thing that happened. She harangues him for like four episodes about how he never tells her anything about his job. And then the instant he does, she, without batting an eye, leaks that info to the press. And it's Dr. Leslie Tompkins. But, oh my God, it's just so fucking dumb. Also, for some reason, Batman or Bruce Wayne knows Poison Ivy already, but her name's actually Ivy. Not Pamela Isley. Kind of her name is Ivy because they didn't trust the viewers to be able to understand who she was if they didn't change her fucking name to Ivy.
It's like they introduced, on episode one, they introduced all the characters, and of course, the guy who's going to be the Riddler is like, I like riddles, 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 riddles. And then it's
plant
like,
girl named Ivy, and then a cat girl who's 18, I think. And it's fucking. It almost got fucking good. They introduced the Joker. Okay. They introduced crazy psychopath, very Heath Ledger ripoff.
He was very popular.
He was amazing. I'm like, okay, the show's getting good again. Or not again, at all. The show's getting good. You finally have me. Joker, great. Next episode, Joker, great. Next episode, joke's on you. He's not actually the Joker. He's a random guy, and they kill him. And then the show goes back to being terrible. He was like perfect for two episodes, and they're like, no, we were just faking you out. The Joker's not in the show. This guy's dead now.
He's on Shick. I was on Shameless, by the way.
Yeah, that guy's good.
I saw a scene from him from the show. I go, wow. I go back, because I read the AV Club always ditches, hates the show too. And they go, there's this like spriny, this bright light on the show now. This character is amazing. And then the next week is like, okay, now he's dead, so never mind. You can go back to ignoring the show.
It was just this dangle of hope. It's like, hey, we finally have a cool character. We finally have an interesting plot arc. Nope.
They're trying to red belt people.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing now. That's what they're trying to do.
Red belt because they can't be that foolish. Are they on drugs over there? What is in the water in Iowa?
Even just saying, like Arctic Circle in here is saying it's so bad it's good. Okay, you're wrong, but at least you're honest by saying that it's bad. They are not saying that. They're saying it's legitimately the best comic book show out there. That's just fucking psychotic.
That would be like me saying that Z Nation is the best zombie show.
Catwoman's like 13 or 14. Which is Nathan 18.
Yeah.
So 13 is Nathan 18.
It's European. But no, it's just fucking. Like, Z Nation is so bad, it's good. Like, that's why I like Z Nation.
And it's trying to be so bad, it's good. That's literally what it's trying to do.
Yeah, it's trying to be the Sharknado of zombie stuff.
Yes, they literally have a Zombnado episode.
Yes.
Somebody, I saw on the Something Awful forums, we were talking about shows, and somebody's like, Z Nation looks like the worst show ever. And a guy summarized it perfectly. He said, the way you need to look at Z Nation is, these are the filmed version of sessions of a zombie role-playing game, and every week the GM has a different gimmick. So like, all right, guys, this episode there's radioactive zombies and they're super fast for some reason. And then that's your session for the week. And the next week, all right, guys, zombie tornado! And that's your session for the week. Just a crazy stupid... This time, hey, there's some super loot that you can get in this town, but you have to have a zombie shooting competition first. Okay!
This week we're going to take... We're going to center on only one of the characters, and he's going to be in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
That's all the other characters are insane in there.
This week, plant zombies for some reason.
That did exist in this
All show. Of these existed, but it's great as long as you understand that it's just the weekly gimmick of the... Because every GM does that. You're like, all right, this session, here's the weekly gimmick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the show's perfect.
It is not. It is the worst show.
It's so fucking bad.
And I'm like, oh my
not
God.
Z Nation.
No.
Gotham.
Yeah.
I mean, Z Nation's bad for completely different reasons, but acceptable reasons. Yeah. And no one's...
Because it's trying to be bad.
Oh, the whole Fish Mooney on an island and with the doll maker in season one was just so fucking terrible. And nothing anybody does makes sense. And it's all stupid. Just all fucking but stupid.
Maybe I want to understand. Now, I feel like now, I really here's the want thing. To understand.
If they hate Gotham, but they hate everything else more, I could almost accept. Like, they just hate superhero shows.
Like, it's the best bone to have broken, like that kind of thing. Like you're like, not saying it's good. It's just if you had to.
If they want to say they hate everything in the CW and they hate every other, if they hate all superhero stuff, they just hate that the least. That's still weird to me. But I could accept that better than them saying they think it's actually decent and everything else is bad.
No. Yeah, no, it's a thing.
Weird.
It hurts.
Now we need a podcast war because this is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. No, Nigel says, whatever. He says, I think Gotham is probably the best comic property on television at the moment. I enjoy the shit out of it. It's literally comics done well. It's almost like there's enough Adam West wink-wink goofiness. But it isn't wink-wink goofiness. That's the problem. It thinks it's straight-faced. It's just terrible.
It's trying to be like really, really... From all the trailers and everything I've seen from the advertisements on Fox, it tries to be set in reality. That this is Batman in reality and this is, you know, hyper-realism for a comic book show. There's nobody running around in goofy suits.
Torts on our side in a podcast war.
All right, good. It's just like the closer you get to goofy is you got the wacky quips from Harvey Bullock. You know, he's got.
I don't know Harvey Bullock.
Batman animated series, the detective that never trusts Batman, and he always had the toothpick throw. Okay. You know, grizzled. You know. Asshole but honest cop, you correct. Know, and so that was his thing, is like, you know,
he doesn't like Batman's methods,
right? But he's still at least an honest cop, whatever. In this one, he's literally a murderer from the pilot episode on. Is like he's just murdered people.
Is that what's his name character,
the guy from that one from show Blade that was terrible
and in the
show?
Dog show Terriers? That wasn't about dog show.
I'm still
mad.
Yeah,
from Terriers. The guy from Terriers.
I am still mad.
He had some sitcom that was terrible that he was
I'm still mad that Terriers is only one season. And I'm probably still the only person in this room that's seen Terriers. That show is amazing.
I saw a couple episodes. It looked really good.
So good.
I like blind recommended it to people because I trusted you.
It's so unusual that it's good because it's... Anyway, sorry. I don't know. I could ramble that for days. I'm still mad about this whole comic thing.
If you ramble about it for more than 4 hours, that's more than there actually was footage of the show, I think.
it had a full story arc, which is one nice thing about it.
All right, good. Fucking Gotham. Oh, yeah, Bo's just a murderer right from the start. Whatever.
Grounded for Life.
Hey,
Grounded for Life. Yeah, Grounded for Life was terrible. It's one of the worst sitcoms ever.
If you go back to our last two episodes where we did rant and... We didn't rant. We raved basically about all the other CW shows.
Yeah.
You
the
noticed,
last two we've done that.
You noticed that there was absolutely no conversation of Gotham in there.
Yeah,
because we didn't want to bring it up.
Fucking bad.
And we could spend a lot of time saying why each of those CW shows is bad, but they're also very good. I mean, they're not perfect. They're flawed, but they're still enjoyable.
But they're more comic booky than I feel it.
Wow. That's the thing. You want to talk Adam West wink wink. That's the point I made over and over again about The Flash. Like, The Flash is fucking stupid, but it knows, and it's okay. Like, I'm okay that bees kill him because it's dumb. And at least it knows it's dumb, but. Ugh.
And this season has more Harrison Wells and all that matters.
So Tort brings up what it should have been because he's claiming it's what it is, but he's wrong. He says Bullock was dodgy. He just wasn't evil. Like, he wouldn't care about maybe he's saying, like, not on Gotham. he wouldn't care about procedure, and he'd beat a criminal and say he tripped, but he wasn't in the pocket of the bad guys or anything. That's what he was in Batman the Animated Series and when they brought him in the comics and stuff. But yeah, in Gotham, I guess, he's still not, like, in the pocket of the bad guys. Like, he isn't on the take, but he understands how things work. Yeah, so, like, he's literally just killed people for the bad guys because it's, you know, what you got to do.
He is a chaotic good cop.
Right, but in Gotham, well, maybe. I mean, Gotham, he's literally murdered people. In the other one, he was just, you know, he was more chaotic good.
Sure.
We got someone in our chat that does like Gotham, but I mean, I don't think you could, even if you could enjoy Gotham somehow, I still don't think how you could see it's better than all the other shows out there for comic stuff.
Yeah, like, enjoying it, I'll give you. Like, so bad it's good, I'll give you. But when you say it's better than ever, like, saying it's not the worst one, it's already iffy. You know, like, you have to like all comic book shows because it's the worst one before you're allowed to watch Gotham. But so once you say, I think it's actually not the second worst, you're lying. But to say it's the best, fuck you. Better than Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Daredevil and Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow.
I like a lot of the CW. I think Gotham is better than Arrow. I could even, you know, because, you know, a lot of people don't like where Arrow is going. And I can understand that, but man, the other ones are just this. And Legends of Tomorrow season one was all over the fucking place.
Sure.
And it had some problems, but.
It definitely had some problems. It had problems with me even playing WoW and keeping my attention.
Gotham started with a guy murdering people with weather balloons. You want to talk about starting with problems?
Yeah.
The weather balloon bandit.
Yep. I watched it. I was like, what is happening?
How many episodes are there in a season?
22.
Oh, fuck that.
And they're an hour long each.
Oh,
and there's three or four seasons now.
They're on the third.
They're on the third season. It just feels like a decade because it's so fucking terrible.
It's been on forever.
I don't even know if I could do... I mean, yeah. No.
No, it's not even worth hate watching.
See, I want to get on the same. I want to get on the same page. I want to understand, you know, the trials and tribulations that my two friends here are going through with trying to understand Gotham. Well, not understand it, but
so I stopped watching like four episodes into season two. I'm almost willing to say if you watch up to that point, I'll watch the rest with you.
You'll hate watch it with me.
But man, I said I'm almost willing to say that.
God, I have to get through 26. I have to watch almost an entire day's worth of Gotham to catch up to you.
That's one hell of a day.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should probably move on from that topic. We should zappy grumble it up.
Yeah, zappy grumble because there's somebody getting killed tonight.
There's somebody getting killed last year.
Somebody got killed last year. Yes.
Should we make a who?
Spoiler: it's Glenn.
We should guess. Well, you're
assuming. Well, we all know now. It's not Carl. Because half the screen wasn't missing when he was showing from his point of view. Because he's missing an eye.
Well, at the end credits, even when he's when Negan's about to kill whoever he's going to kill, he's like, if the sheriff moves, kill his kids. You know it's not those two, just based on the last sentence. But I think they're going to follow the comics and kill Glenn. But we'll see.
Which would be fucking hilarious because like four episodes before that, there was all the stupid shit with him dying and not really dying. Maybe, so to kill him off like four episodes later would be insane.
Maybe was that them testing the waters to see how bad the reaction would be?
I think that's why they... Obviously, we're just... I mean, we don't know. We're just like making shit up here. We're guessing because, in the comics,
he dies. We're recording before the episode. Yeah.
Plus, if you care about the comics, he literally died in the comics like 4 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He died in episode 100, and I think I'm reading episode like 160 or 150 right now, or 157. I mean, it was years and years ago.
And they have mentioned that on other shows, too.
Like, they all die. Like, nobody... Like, they're all fucking dead in the comics. Like, they cycle through the characters so much more.
But, I mean, they have mentioned, like, on multiple shows other than The Walking Dead that Glenn is the one who dies in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I want it to be a good show. I don't want it to be because I don't know. I just want it to be a good season. Who dies doesn't really matter. End of the day.
Correct.
I'd also because they hyped it. It better not be one of them.
Well,
of like the 10 possible people, 7 of them have been core characters for a very long time, and they have like 3 very very fresh characters.
Right.
And if they kill a fresh character and they made you wait a year for it, that's pretty lame to build up like a random death of someone who didn't matter.
Or if it's Eugene.
Yeah,
if it's fucking Eugene, I'm riot. I'm gonna
spoil. Eugene is still alive in the comics. He's a very important person in the comics.
I love Eugene
because Eugene so goes because Eugene is like, oh, I know how to make ammunition and things like that. Eugene like, actually has like skills that is very important to the community.
I think what happened is Negan there was like a badger jumped on somebody's head and he killed it so before it could hurt him, and that was badger blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So nobody's dead. He just killed a badger.
He killed a badger.
He protects him. He's a nice guy. That's my
theory.
Why
does that guy, why does he have a thing by his name?
Yeah, did you make somebody a mod again? Who's this Dominic dead guy?
No, I think it's, if you're a subscriber, you also get...
Fancy. We have a, we have a celebrity.
He said he does. He thought we didn't find out who dies until mid-season. This is mid-season, right? This is the mid-season. No,
this is season
premiere.
Seven. Yeah, oh. Season seven premiere.
They can't possibly, because, I mean, you have a whole bunch of people. You couldn't have conversations when they leave here without having, you know, saying he's dead. And it can't be a girl. He couldn't have killed a girl, because if a man beats a girl with a bat, I have to imagine it's gonna be some sort of trigger thing for too many, you know, groups.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people talking. It could be Maggie as well.
If it was, I mean, that'd be amazing if a pregnant girl gets murdered by a guy with a bat. I mean, it'd be like, holy crap, that's a line they just flew right by. I mean, if they just want to test the waters with, like, their fan base, killing off Maggie would be the most, I mean, I would be like, holy fucking cheer, just at the concept of them going up, crossing that line, that fucking insane.
And then Glenn dies very soon after that, because he gets up to do
things. Yeah, no, that would be, I mean, when I say amazing, I'm not saying, yay, let's kill a pregnant bitch. I'm just saying, it would be amazing from the point of view of a TV show making that sort of a
the
step
balls
forward.
Are doing it. Yeah.
I mean, just like you loved it. You loved us 10 minutes ago. How about now, bitches?
Well, it's like the you know, years ago when Bates Motel started, and I said it was amazing that they raped her.
Yeah.
Like, and Andy was very, Andy's like, you can't say that. I think you even edited me out of that podcast saying it because it was such a controversial thing to do. It's like, it's not good that the character got raped. That's terrible. But it was amazing to me that the show was willing to do it. Like, I kept thinking that the guy was going to almost do it and then she'd be rescued at the last moment. Yeah. And then she just flat out gets raped. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This show has balls.
Yeah. I mean, it's doing a, you know, realistic storytelling.
Yeah. The willingness to do something horrific. Well, but I don't think beating a pregnant woman to death, I don't think they'll be willing to do that. But if they did, it would show that they're like, fuck you. We will do terrible, terrible things for the story.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm very intrigued. Do we have any Giuseppe Grumbles?
There was one up higher when you were talking about how beautiful the fancy at crippled system thing was. He asked a question.
Somebody asked best cartoon alcoholic that isn't Rick.
Bender? Does he count? Alcohol keeps him running.
I would say Carl. Bertano Adelowski or whatever his last name is.
When you said Carl, for some reason I was thinking someone on Bob's Burgers. I was like thinking this kid's name was Carl. I'm like, I don't think he drinks, but it's not Carl.
No, Carl, the neighbor in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's good. Bojack, obviously.
Yeah, Bojack's good.
I mean, there's a ton of really good characters that are alcoholics in shows. Yeah, you have Barney from The Simpsons as well. Yeah.
I just love how whenever he doesn't drink for like a week, he turns into just a completely suave, wonderful, intelligent person. And then you drink the non-alcoholic sparkling wine and it just trashed him still because, you know.
I don't even remember his quote, but I just got done watching the...
Archer is a strong one.
I just got done watching The Simpsons movie again, and that was the part where they finally make it back into the dome and Mo walks out wearing his bandolier of shotgun shells and his road cone head.
Yeah.
And then Barney throws a Molotov cocktail at him from the side. I don't even remember the quote that he said there, but it was funny.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
It had a beginning, middle, and end. Whoa.
I don't know where the
it was way up, but like at the, just go like way fucking up. You'll see the black block at the beginning of their thing. That. Oh, never mind. They just asked about Black Mirror, and we talked about that.
Yeah,
never
somebody
mind.
Else some Zappity Grumbles.
Yeah. Arctic Circle Zappity something, but it can't have been important because that guy sucks. There he goes. Have you considered doing a drunken stream of War Machine? Like actually playing War Machine while drunk? I don't know how entertaining that would be. We get drunk during the podcast sometimes.
I mean, doing a drunk commentary would be funny. I think
if you guys just wanted to sit in here and drink yourselves and just drink a lot and just record, it would be fine too. They'd just be happy.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to do the Minion cast soon, and I plan to drink an entire bottle of Long Island Iced Tea Mix over the course of it, but it's going to be like 12 hours long, so really that's not
a
lot of drinks per hour.
You have to get two mixes in. You have to drink one per hour.
Yeah, one bottle per hour. Yeah. I think that's fatal.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if my carpeting would like that.
I have never vomited from drunkenness.
I am not
Professor Lost.
I finally started watching Drunk History.
It's so good.
It's pretty good.
I love drunk history. I sent one to Katie and she didn't respond, and that made me sad.
I wasn't really sure. I had when I first heard of it, I wasn't sure if they were really drunk doing it or like pretending to be drunk. Because I mean, you can pretend to be drunk and talk about things, or you can actually be drunk and do things. So it's
what I've read is when they film it, they tell the story three times, and so they have three different levels of drunkenness. They have a fairly coherent, slightly buzzed. They have a drunk, and then they have a fucking blitzed, and then they splice together as they need be. Like they use the coherent stuff to try to get more of the history in there, yeah. And then the in-betweens when they cut back and they're like crawling under the couch and crying, that's when they use the blackout drunk shit. But so they do get drunker and drunker, and they just film it three times apparently.
It's so weird to me, the concept. Someone's like, we should get drunk and then record it and talk about history.
Yeah. I don't know.
The first with Adam Scott and, you know, being killing Lincoln's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the celebrity actors is what really makes it. You know what I mean? The voiceovers of even the rambling, drunken bullshit, that's what makes it. If they just had somebody get drunk and tell you about the Civil War, it would just be terrible.
Yeah.
But once you get Will Ferrell as Lincoln just rambling with Don Cheadle as Jefferson Douglas, it's like, all right, I'm with this.
Yeah. And one of the guys that does the history is from You're the Worst, which blew my mind. I know that guy from something else.
Yeah.
That's my story.
It's fun. Right. Yeah, I have to figure out when I'm going to do the Minion thing. Probably 2 weeks after War Machine weekend. Because this weekend's already over. This coming weekend I work. The weekend after that is War Machine weekend. The weekend after that I'll work. The weekend after that I have off.
Boom.
Possibly.
Possibly. Yeah, it's not locked. That's a possibly.
I mean, that might just take place of the actual podcast for that weekend, which I think that's the 20th. 20th is 2 weekends after War Machine weekend.
Hopefully I'll have a car by then. I'm half tempted to wait till Black Friday because I've been told sometimes places do Black Friday sales. But
on cars?
Yeah, I know. It's really weird. I've read that because no one thinks about it. Car lots actually do like weird extra off on things. But
I thought you said Blood Friday.
Blood Friday, the favorite.
I'm like, wow, that's it's hardcore. Horrible.
So, so recommendations?
Were there no more Zapples?
I didn't see any. And we're running close on time. We're at 7:30 about.
Yeah, I mean, right. Time is limited.
Yeah, time is limited. To are you staying here to watch Walking Dead? Or
no, I'm gonna go home.
I don't watch Walking Dead. That show is terrible.
I'm going to recommend. I've mentioned it before, but Total War Warhammer had a new expansion come out, a mini expansion. It added a bunch of things for dwarves and goblins, but it added goblin squigs. Yeah, squig riders and squig herds.
Squigs are fun.
And a new, like when you have a faction, you have a leader who's like, you know, with the orcs, you could have a couple orc leaders, but now they added a knight goblin guy with squigs, and it's a simple add-on, but my god, being able to, when you play battles, having armies of squigs just charge into things. And having squigs eat everybody is just the most hilarious thing. It's been hours upon hours upon hours of extra entertainment just watching my squigs eat people. It's the simplest.
They're like Zerglings. You just throw fucking tons of them out there.
Squigs are not Nurglings.
No, squigs are
Zerglings, like in StarCraft. Yeah.
You know what a squig is,
right? Yeah.
They're just so adorable and cute.
Cute.
They are. They're the best.
And it's actually kind of hard because the new campaign, like whenever you pick a character, there's always pros and cons of the character. Well, because they've had the game out a while, they made the new dwarf and the new goblin character start in a harder part of the map. And it made it. So it's not only is it fun, but it's also a new challenge because you're starting, like it's harder because every element, it's, you know, difficult. But you get squigs, so it's just amazing.
Jim was telling me about when he was playing the dwarves in that campaign. And he went and just sacked a big part of the orc part there.
Yeah.
And Grimgor Ironhide, that was up north, suddenly turned his army, came out south behind him.
Oh, I've played, and I've seen like enemy legendary lords like come your direction. Like, I have to go now. So you have to run.
It's amazing how, like, it's just because the lore and the ideas and stuff like that. Like, as much as I've shit on GW in the past, any GW game that isn't a minis game is almost always amazing. Just because the lore and the ideas are just so cool.
Yeah.
Just so fun.
And I mean, if Fantasy came out with a new edition that was great, I would probably go back and play it. Sure. It's just, like, even, I don't want to get onto the whole Age of Sigmar thing, but let's say someone liked Age of Sigmar. Let's say they made Age of Sigmar version 2 that was good. It's still a skirmish game, so it's still not what I love. And that's why I love Total War Warhammer.
Big rectangles.
I love rank and file, and now I get to play that in the video game. I get to have my armies of, you know, night goblins with fanatics jumping out, and my squig herders, and my wolf riders, and my giants, and my giant spider things. And I feel like I'm playing Warhammer Fantasy, but on the, you know, on the computer. And if they had a tabletop version where I could do that again, I would.
That's
but
the hilarity of the timing of that game yeah. coming out. You know, how many people, they saw this game, they played, like, this is amazing. They went to the Games Workshop store, and they're like, no, we killed it. Do you want to play with a dozen, you know,
Sigmarines?
Sigmarines?
Yeah.
What? No, I mean, No, we killed yeah. that.
Actually,
fuck you.
Actually, Age of Sigmar is it's basically still Warhammer Fantasy,
but it's skirmish.
It's just a skirmish based,
yeah, yeah, yeah. which is the whole reason I.
It's just the timing's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Still.
It is. Yeah.
It, you know, they killed it like a month before the Total War came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I've put in a lot of hours into that game, and I'll play like a couple camp. I'll play like 2 or 3 campaigns all the way through, which could be a good week and a half's work, and then I won't play it for a month or two. By the time I get back to, they've already added like two or three more DLCs, and I have another like month worth of work to play. Then I ignore it for a few weeks, and I go. So it's just nice. Like every time I go back to the game, there's like, you know, they added a whole new faction to it. There's another faction coming in as well, and they keep adding legendary lords and all sorts of things. So they really support the game really well, which is well
cool.
So that's my recommendation: play some Total War Warhammer and be amazed, and eat people with squigs. They literally just scoop up the people and just like swallow them. They have like endless stomachs. They can just like just swallow people and just instantly go away.
God, squigs are the best.
They are.
I have so many squigs from Warhammer quest.
And launching fanatics into the enemy army is always never gets old either.
That's all I got.
I recommend Civilization. Like, I didn't get to play 6 because my computer couldn't do it. But it doesn't matter, because the thing about Civilization that's amazing is that I have loved every version of Civilization, and it isn't just that 6 is better than 5, which is better than 4, which is better than 3, because they keep like updating and get it better. Like, I will go back and just play Civ 2, or I will go back and play Civ 4. Like, the games are uniquely different enough from each other that they all have an independent feel. I think every entry in the series, you will get people that say that that's the best version of Civilization.
This is a topic for another podcast. I want you to explain to me what's different between these at a later time.
6 is, I read the reviews of 6 that it feels most like a board game than anything else, which sure. to me is even more exciting of a statement.
I mean, you know, 5 changed the military by having non-stacking units, yeah. whereas all the previous ones you could stack units into like huge armies. 4 really added the culture wars, where you actually used art to expand and you could peacefully take over other cities by having them, you know, whatever. So I won't go deep into it because you said for another time, mm-hmm. but the point is, if you've never played a Civilization game, or if it's been forever since you have, and you don't want to drop $60 on Civ 6, your computer can't run it or whatever, it doesn't matter. Pick a random one on Steam. Go spend $10 for Civ 2 or 3 or 4. Just fucking buy a copy of Civilization, any of them. They're all amazing.
Which is funny, because Total War and Civ are similar-esque. They're both world-conquering games. They go about it differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fun to conquer the world.
Yeah, it seems great. I would love to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to recommend Joe Rogan's Triggered.
I thought you were going to say Gotham.
No. No, that's no. Joe Rogan's a comedian. I believe he was on News Radio.
Yes.
He was also the UFC commentator. He has several specials
Fear
that were
Factor,
on.
Man. Fear
and
Factor.
Fear Factor, yeah. He has several specials that are on Netflix. One just came out on Friday, and it is pretty amazing. A lot of his comedy is very risque, but it's very good. You should go check it out.
Like boobies risque?
Nah, just kind of, you know, a lot of people claim he's is sexist.
He thinks the moon landing was faked?
What?
Joe Rogan. Torts says Joe Rogan thinks the moon landing was faked.
No.
I know that, like, there's a big deal, because when Ronda Rousey was on his podcast, she talked about how she thought Sandy Hook was faked. Maybe not Sandy Hook, maybe it was 9/11. Like, she's a truther on some stuff. It was a big hit on my crush on Ronda Rousey when somebody played that for me. But I don't think he's a conspiracy theorist.
He's generally... he would be somebody who would analyze things. And one of the big things about the moon landing is, think of how many people would have to keep that a fucking secret. How many people would have to keep that a secret? And nobody on their deathbed has said, no, but, you know.
Well, it's great. It's one of those things where you can poke holes, because it shows that conspiracy theorists always just make shit up.
Yeah.
Like, they see something. Like, my favorite is, one of the things they hinge the moon landing fake is, there's a rock in one of the mm-hmm. pictures, and there's a shadow or a groove on the side of the rock that looks very much like a letter D. just happens sure. to be shaped like a capital D. And they're like, see, that proves it was fake because on props, they use letters to code. So there's rock A, rock B, rock C, rock D. So that in their notes, they can tell you that rock D goes there on the set. And it's like, no, that's literally just not a thing. They don't.
That doesn't exist on
set. That doesn't exist on set. That's no. just strictly not true.
You just
but
don't
they
move
saw
shit
a shadow
sense.
That looked like the letter D, and so yeah. they made up some bullshit that made it seem. It's just so amazing how they don't even put a second thought into shit they make up.
Yeah.
Well, we get to see astronauts punch people who don't. Who's in space,
oh, you're a liar, you're a coward, and you're a th. My favorite quote.
I have not. Non-Euclidean Nick asked if we've played the new Masters of Orion. I have not, but I'm intrigued by it.
The last one I played was 3, and 3 was terrible.
But everyone agrees. But this one's supposed to be pretty good. It's still not as, like, it's still slightly more streamlined than 2 was, but I've heard positive things. I just have not played it.
2 was 3 was hilarious because they added so much micromanagement. Because, like, you have a whole solar, well, you have a galaxy, and it'll let you go down to literally, like, county accountant, you know, all the way down. And so
instead
it was so much
just
micromanagement.
Being random person.
Yeah, you could go down literally to the village mayor level of a village on a continent in a solar system in a galaxy. But because there was so much micromanagement, there was a toggle to just go, eh, fuck it, do it yourself. And it took away all the micromanagement. And then it was all just boring and macro. And it just was too much. And they knew it was too much. So they just took it all away. And so then the game was just boring and terrible.
Somebody had mentioned on the chat here, Jesse Ventura. I don't believe that he's.
What about him? They just said his name.
But he's the guy who thinks the movie was the moon landing was faked, and he's a truther.
Yeah, he's
and he guy. Is, which is odd because I for a long time I always respected him because he always had a really good way of explaining things, and
well, he's dumb and wrong.
Now they know that he's a truther.
I see what you're trying to do there, Non-Euclidean Nick.
Yeah, we're not going
to. I see that. What you're trying to do. All right, he just said Gotham is the best sci-fi game of all time.
Which is worse, Gotham or Mass Effect 3?
That's all podcast right there.
Oh, I should have brought up here as a great topic. Well, we fill the time anyway. We got to get out.
But bye, everybody.
I should have brought up the who wins in a fight, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or the Mario Brothers. That's my current fight on my Facebook.
Nope, I just ended it. Right
that's
there.
Fine.